Right, so I'll call to order the Thursday, August 1st meeting of the Historic District Commission. It's 5:30 about p.m. So, Peter Nunes, absent. Karen De Silva.
Present.
James Garfield, absent. Robin Griswold.
Here.
Linda Stedman.
Present.
Richard Youngkin, here. Andrew Martinez, absent. Okay, so do we have a motion to approve the minutes of May 2nd, 2019?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Yep. A motion made by Karen and seconded by Linda. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So I think what we could do is, should we go to... the new business?
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. So let's skip to number 7, new business. Certificate of appropriateness, an application for unnumbered parcel located on South Road, Assessor's Plat 23-3, Lot 36. Proposed construction of a new single-family dwelling unit on an undeveloped parcel located within the Kingston Historic District. And Joel Langloy is the applicant and owner. And Joel is here.
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
So maybe what you could do, Joel, is give us a little presentation on your project. I just want to note for the record that you did come on May 2nd with a pre-application. Is that correct?
Correct.
And we had a look at it then. And gave you some ideas. And now you're back with a full application.
Yes.
And to supplement this, here's the full-size plans that Joel, that you brought to our office, so in case that's beneficial.
You guys want
to
look at that.
Okay.
So are these any different than what we've received? They're just bigger?
Yeah, I made modifications.
Oh, you did?
Oh.
Okay.
Size stayed approximately the same. I did add a garage on.
Yes. And that's shown on these plans.
And I changed the facade on it.
So why don't I just move this so that we can...
Yeah, I don't know how it got stapled differently. But
well, everybody got a reduced copy, so maybe that's what happened. And there's also the elevation drawing right here. See it in greater detail, the back and the front.
So this, is actually sheet one of the plans, showing the east and the west elevation. The east elevation is the road frontage elevation. There were, as I said, a couple of modifications, mainly the porch here, and then the addition to a garage here. But in essence, the house stayed the same other than that. I did give you some details on the windows. I think that's one of the things you wanted to see. I also included in your packet some photos of the actual detail of the window. And I did a little bit of a detail on the porch. I will admit that I'm not 100% on this door, but it will be a similar door, four lights, or raised panel. Do I have to, for the record, do I need to put the specs of the house on, the exterior specs?
Well, you can go over and just tell us. We do have a written description, but just tell us what you intend to do for the siding, the trim,
okay,
the foundation treatment, the roof treatment, the chimney treatment, and the... You know, I do know that we have some information about the windows, but you can do that last, the windows and the doors. But just to reiterate that for the record.
Okay.
And then can we also talk about the 6 or 7 live maple trees?
Sure.
Yeah, and the site plan.
Yeah, when I get to the site plan, it's going to explain the positioning of the house and some decisions I had to make in the positioning of the house. The siding's a white cedar shingle.
Is it the whole building?
The whole building.
Okay.
The wood will be pine, unless I can find redwood, which is very difficult to find nowadays, but it will be a natural wood. The details on the trim work will not be 1x stock, it will be at least 6/4 stock, so it will be elevated or exaggerated.
Okay.
There is a small porch on the front. It's 8x6. It's indented into the house, which might eventually become an airlock to the house. We'll see. That's not part of this proposal right now.
You mean like an enclosed vestibule?
Yes. That's why you recess it.
Is this changed slightly from the...
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a copy of the... If anybody needs to look at it, what came in last month or in May?
I bought that.
I was in here for that.
Yeah, here's a. I mean, it has my scribbles on top of it. Forgive
sure.
those, but you can
okay.
read through that.
Okay.
Yeah, when I came in before, I didn't know what to do with the garage, and a lot of that. When I come into the explaining the positioning of the house, that will all come into play.
Sure.
We just didn't have enough information to give you.
Right. So when you talk about enclosing the porch in some future date, you may have to come back for
yeah,
that.
Correct.
Or you could show us at some point, if you know, it depends upon what we do tonight with this, but you could come back and show us
sure.
that at any time.
Again, it's not part of this proposal. So.
Right.
The roof will be asphalt shingle, architectural grade. Yeah, it's pretty widely used in historic districts at this point. And the windows will be Anderson Series 400, 6/1s.
And that's a simulated divided light?
Simulated divided light. The chimney is just for a zero clearance fireplace, so it will be encased or enclosed, but it is a metal tube. You will only see the cap of it, of the tube from the exterior.
So how will it be encased?
It's called a chimney chase. It's wood. It will be shingled and trimmed out
okay.
to match the house. There's slight overhangs, 1-foot overhangs on all the eaves around the house, and a return on all the trims, and that detail is in the plan someplace.
Yeah, I think it's right here. Mm-hmm. So how, what's the dimensions of the...
20 inches, so it goes out a foot and returns back 20 inches.
Oh, okay, wow. And then what's the width of that board? Is it 1x10? Is it fanning?
Yeah, your fascias are 1x6. There'll also be a 1x2. Some people call it a freeze board, other people call it a drip edge. That separates the shingles.
Yeah.
So your rake or your fascia rake and your fascia down here will be 1x8. And the same thing with the return will be 1x6.
So the returns are a little narrower than the raking fascia board?
Yeah, it really comes down to the angle. You want it, once you've established this angle in the return, that's how you know what your return's going to be here.
Well, what I mean is that this dimension from here to here is a little, is it thinner or thicker than this dimension, or is it the same?
It's the same.
Okay.
And again, the detail shows it better. This is all in... 1/4 inch to 1. I think the detail I gave you was
bit better there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the detail shows it. So.
Yeah.
Corner boards are 1x4s. Again, natural. And the foundation will be exposed for 18 inches. That's just code. You have to.
And is it just the concrete?
It'll be just the concrete. Yeah. That's the minimum height from ground contact for the siding.
Okay, can you, let me think if there's, so we've got the shingles, we've got the board trim. Can we talk a little bit more about the porch itself? Mm-hmm. What are these supports?
They'll be decorative pin columns. They'll dress out to be 6x6s.
Are they square?
They're square.
Okay.
And then there will be an archway here. Actually, I have a picture of the one on my house now, but it's different.
This piece right here is an arch.
Yeah.
I get you.
Is that the same, like 6 inches dimensionally?
It's probably going to be closer to, yeah, it will be 6 inches, and this will be more 1x8. Again, you're trying to 1x6 again.
Oh, 1x6. Okay.
Again, it's how the angle matches up. And you really don't know that cut until you do it. So mm-hmm.
You can eyeball it.
Yeah, it has to do with how long, you know, this is coming out a foot. You want the foot return. Once you have that angle, you'll know what the size of this will be. Yeah, it'll be approximately 1x6.
Yeah, we're just interested in the proportions.
Approximately 1x6.
So again, these columns are 1x8s, did you say, or 1x6s?
It'll be 6x6.
Six
dressed
by
out
six.
6x6. It'll be 4x4 post inside.
Dressed out, okay.
Is this a railing right here?
Yes.
That's a railing, and this is another beat?
Yep, and then that's sided there.
Ah, I got you. And this is the siding on the house.
See if I have the picture of my cell phone.
Yeah, I couldn't determine what that
so
was.
So this is like it's like a knee wall. You know, I have it on my house.
Yeah.
Oh, so you could sit on that.
You sit on that, so the only thing that exposes your head.
Yeah.
So
you don't need a railing for the porch, because you don't have that dimension.
I'm going to probably put a railing up anyways. Part of the reason why we're doing this is my wife has some health issues, and has to do with her legs and stuff like that. So the whole structure is one level.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is a projecting porch part way. Is this open here, or is there going to be a screen for that?
It's open.
It's open. Okay.
Again, you got to be 18 inches from ground contact. To construct, that's the code.
Well, you could put a lattice screen on it, certainly, if you wanted to.
A what screen?
Lattice
work.
Oh. Yeah, that's a taste issue, I'm sorry.
Well.
I don't know if I have the picture. Do you want to see a picture of my existing porch, if I have it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might not. If you want, I can email you guys a picture of that, or tell you where I live and you can drive by.
Is this, well, first of all, we probably should ask again, Joel, is the porch that you have very similar to what you're thinking about for this?
Okay. Yeah, that's, we love it. It's a place to tuck out of the rain and just two, you know, seats two.
Right.
So, there's not much to see on that side of the house. We're looking over at a relatively old apartment building.
Yeah.
So we're not emphasizing that view on that side.
So, what? Give us the address then.
740 Post Road.
Oh, 740 Post Road.
Yeah, that is on the other side of US 1. Come on.
Yeah, it's between sort of US 1 and Camp Fuller, somewhere down in there.
Right. We're on the pretty much on the corner of Wood Hollow.
Wood Hollow, okay.
And we're on that side of the road. And we made that house fit the area. It's a little bit different thought on how on design and over there, because those were more summer cottages, beach cottages, so the designs are different over there than they would be in the store.
Yeah.
However, we do have houses that are in the 1600 on the road.
Right.
So
like the old Leonard houses, where it's like one of the Kingston houses, actually, where Bob's on top of it.
Yep. But yeah, it's, yeah, Brookside is the oldest. That's
right. That's
1680s something or other.
The Tarswell's old.
Burnt down once or twice.
It's a gorgeous house.
Yeah. And what I call the Tarswell house is the other one. That's in the 1600s. Want to go to the rear?
Yeah, I mean, I think we want to come back to the garage, but let's go to the rear and talk about that because it's right here.
Okay. So here, we're going to have the house is in like three parts. So the middle section is a patio. You can see that on the floor plan.
Yeah.
And that's an atrium door. Atrium style French door.
Right.
Just so you understand. So this is the rear of the house.
Right.
And this is the patio area in here.
So will that all be a deck or will it be stone?
Probably stone.
Yeah, so you'll step down from the patio door to it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most likely blue stone.
Yeah.
And most likely an irregular blue stone.
Yeah.
Cobblestone.
Right.
Yeah. And that's between a bedroom and the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm. And this, I mean, this is just a digression because it's not within our purview, but this great room has a higher, I think we saw that in the cut-through drawing, has a higher ceiling.
12-foot ceilings.
Yeah, and these have a lower ceiling.
Yeah, I usually frame out to 8-3 on the interior walls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's nice.
And that's, you know, I'm tall, so I get across the floor because
all right.
So that's this area here, and the atrium door leads to this.
Right.
The patio area. Again, bedroom. And
this is a kitchen.
Kitchen area, yeah.
So in this one, it looks on the drawing, and I was just going to ask you, Joel, is it just the drawing that shows it, or is it really off center of the window here?
It's offset. It's over the sink.
Over the sink.
And it's a casement window in this particular case.
Right. And is this one, going back to the garage, is this intentionally off-center too, or not?
That one doesn't look it.
That one's on center, yeah. Might be off, but just by a little bit.
Just by a little bit. Okay.
Right. Yeah, this one's off because it's servicing the, you know, it's over the kitchen sink.
Is this some sort of mantle too? This.
Yeah, there's the details there. There's a picture of it.
Yeah, it's got a little shoulder to it.
Okay.
And there's a... You can see here, and it's got the windowsill itself projects out. Did you intend that too, or is that?
Yep, that is the
shoulders.
Yeah, it doesn't actually project out. It's just the way the picture is. But it's, you know, they're about this thick.
Yeah.
There's a base trim to them.
Right. And there's a little cap.
There's a cap.
Yeah.
Across the top.
It's a nice one. Yeah.
If I could ever convince you into using those grills, I'd love to do it, but I don't know whether those would...
I mean, this style?
Yeah, it's a prairie style, but it's very, very cool, but it's... I would gladly replace the...
All of these other windows with that.
With a prairie style.
Huh. Well, why don't we have a discussion about that when we get to it?
Okay. So other than that, all the details the same, the back, the windows, and the siding, the elevation on the roof are all 8/12. So even though this is one level, those are higher pitches than you would normally see in a one level house.
And the roof, roof pitches, you mean?
Yeah, and they actually are the pitch of a typical cape.
Yeah.
Though capes can go up to 12 by 12 also.
Yeah, for everybody at the table, I went out and took some photographs, and I've got a, I'm so bad on paper here to, I just hand this around. These are the.
Helps us to understand how it's going to be oriented on the property.
Oh, the site plan?
Yeah.
You want to look at that first?
Well, is that what?
No, these are just the neighboring
just
properties.
What's nearby,
and what's nearby, and the fact that there are basically three capes nearby. This one is a new one. This is, I think, at the very edge of the district.
Oh, okay.
On South Road. This one is up closer to the, and I'll pass this around. This is up closer to the intersection of South and 138. And then there's some other larger houses.
So it's up here, that house that you're
yeah,
talking
about. I go through there pretty often. I didn't
yeah.
try to look.
I'm not sure if that the other cape is that one, but I'm not positive.
I see. Okay.
And you're aware of these, Joel. These are just the surrounding properties.
Yeah, I took drive-by and took pictures.
So the idea of a cape is there are, you know, three, there's a precedent for having a cape-type house without dormers or with dormers in the area. And the larger houses, two-story houses, are actually up closer, some of them closer to 138. But there's a mixture, it's a mixture.
Yeah, we're doing, the facade is a cape style, but you can understand there's no way I can move upstairs here. You know, it's vaulted ceilings,
right.
So it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really look cape style to me from what I'm seeing on the plans.
Yeah, the plan, the interior plan, and the... I'm just thinking about the facade of it, and that was... That was more true, perhaps, in the first versions, where it looked, it didn't have the garage attached,
right.
So it looked a little bit more like cape.
Thank you.
Don't
get your stuff.
There it is. I'm trying to keep my
lot.
Stuff away from yours. But, you know, and I drew over that, but you can see how that feel to it.
Yeah,
didn't have this projecting gable.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
It was a much more of a simple facade.
Charles, you want to look at these? You want to make its way down to Carolyn?
So, do you want to look at the site plan next?
Yeah, we'll want
yeah.
to kind of go from front to back.
This is an 8-pitch. That's a 10-pitch. So those are the...
Right.
And you're doing 8? So what
yeah,
you
an 8-pitch here. That's a 10-pitch.
Yeah.
None of these are 12-pitches, which is what you see in most of the developments now.
Right, it's a much shallower
but
route.
But they put bedrooms upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and these days, the kids went up in the loft and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
They had a ladder to get to their bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one is really early. This one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to go to the site plan because, you know, we keep on referring back to the garage and how I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah, we want to look at the other elevations too.
You want to do those first?
Yeah, we can do those first.
So this is sheet 2 we're looking at now. North view, garage door, and then this is the south view. So the garage is leading into the living area, or the great room, whatever you want to call it. I tried to address you guys' access to the basement for things I need to get access to the basement. And what we did is we took the staircase out of the floor plan and we actually put the staircase in the garage, which is a 1920s detail.
Yeah, the staircase was originally off the great room, wasn't it?
Yep.
Somewhere in that location?
Yep, we took it out of there.
Oh, you put it in?
Put it in the garage. just so this way I could get good access to the basement. I don't know if you've ever seen that in the house before.
Mm-mm. I think my house had it though. Close it. Yeah.
And don't you have a detached garage?
I do have a detached. What am I talking about? Yeah. I have another entrance. It's in my basement. Yeah, I have. Well, I have a tunnel too, but let's not go there.
You bootlegger at one point?
I really don't. It's another topic for another day.
I've been in several houses where they have tunnels, but they bring cooch in.
Excuse me. So if these go to the basement, the garage doesn't have a basement under it. It just goes down, and then you access
the... Right, it's a slab.
Yeah.
It's a four-foot footing, but yeah. It's a slab on
grade.
And then
you just access the basement.
Down the staircase.
Okay.
So it's wide enough to put a car in, and you know, your lawnmower, stuff like that. But it gives me easy access to the basement.
Right.
To carry stuff in.
That's right. Because didn't you have lumber that you wanted to take down
there?
Yeah,
big pieces of stuff.
Right. I remember that now. So you're coming in this way, and you come right through the garage door and go down,
yeah.
Right? Okay. Got it.
And that allowed me to do whatever I wanted to do with the front door, so.
Yeah. Interesting.
The best view for the house is south, so that's why we have two windows in the kitchen. And we spend our life in the kitchen, where that's just the way we are, so we like a lot of light in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're full windows, they're, you know, 5+ foot sub windows. And again, the trim work's all the same, even though these are mulled together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The trim work will be the same.
Right. So, I think we probably told you last time we were interested in more windows. It looks like you've added some, but
mm-hmm.
just to have a question. The one in the master, that would be in the master bedroom there, if we put a window there.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't going to work for you in the master bedroom?
No bed wall.
Yeah, no place to put the bed.
Yeah, so by putting the two windows in the front, this has to be a bed wall.
Yeah.
I might be able to put another one over here, but you wanted more windows in the front, so
yeah.
That's what we did.
I think we talked about that bathroom window.
That has a window in it now.
Yeah, and you made it a little larger, I think, than what you showed before.
A little bit larger, but it's still short for the privacy.
Right. And so, yeah, you do the same thing over there, too, on the other elevation, the shorter bathroom window.
And when I say they're short, though, they're 4 feet. They're not tiny.
Yeah, they're not tiny. Okay. So why don't we look at the site plan? Are you ready to look at the site
mm-hmm.
plan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine your curiosity is the garage.
Yeah.
So there's... The town requirements are that you have a rainwater control on a site.
Yeah.
So here's your driveway coming in from South Road. This is the absolute lowest part of the lot here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're actually going to have to elevate the house out of the ground an extra foot to 18 inches. We'll make that decision when we do the first cut. We've been told that it's actually all pretty much sand and salt as for drainage material in there, which is good. But until you make that final cut
mm-hmm.
into the, you know, you wanna,
mm-hmm.
we might have to elevate the foundation out a foot and then backfill up to it.
Oh, yeah.
To get a little bit more slope.
Right. So, but you'd still want to keep the 18, that 18 inches. You wouldn't want to make it more than that, right?
We won't make it more. We'll backfill up to the 18 inches.
Right. Okay.
So the difference in slope from here to here is only about a foot, but it's like 2.5 feet up in here. So around the house, it'll be elevated approximately 2 feet. So you always want to put these, they call them rain gardens, in the lowest spot in the lot. Well, obviously we can't do that here. So this is the next spot. So that's, you know, in consideration, I know one of the regulations or one of the things that you asked for is to keep the garage, no less of, less a profile in the garage as possible. But that has to be where we're going to be putting the drainage, the retention area in here.
Right.
And there's two reasons. It's not just the lowest on the lot, but over here, Potter Road has a severe drainage problem. And the drains just aren't happening.
Oh.
This house over here continually gets flooded. And it comes right down here into his yard, into his foundation, and it abuts right here. These are the same level. So I have to have some kind of way of protecting myself from that. And that's, again, where this retention area comes in.
Right.
I'm also going to be putting swales in. The neighbor and I are also talking about, he's now talking about putting some sort of rain garden over here to control his too.
Right.
But it's the lowest part in the lot, so that's why we pushed it to the front.
And to reorient the house, to put everything over on this side, that's problematic too, isn't
it? It's problematic, yeah. We've got sewer and water lines coming in over there.
On that side?
Yeah, they're right here.
Oh.
To the point now where we're even contemplating doing a well because of the water line is a real, real problem. It's, the utilities in the road are ancient, and the water department has already basically said, you know, this is probably what you have, but you know, it's a very delicate situation. So, and the excavators that I've talked to have all said, we're not giving you an estimate on it. When we get there, we'll find out.
Oh, wow. Is there concern about the main and south road being of a material that's not durable
enough
material, to connect to?
Well, the drains here, both Potter Road and in here, the town drains, are ancient, and they flood out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to several of the neighbors, and
they're probably clay.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably clay.
Yeah.
The clay drains are not.
Yeah, after a long conversation with the neighbor and bringing me in his cellar and the whole nine yards, he said, whatever you do, pay attention to that one detail there.
Yeah.
So, and as I said, he's been flooded out 6 or 7 times, and it's a new house. His is a new house. So, and I looked at it closely. You know, I've got a lot of building experience, and because I was trying to see whether it was hydrostatic. Well, you know, water coming up this way, and it isn't. It, you know, there's no evidence of hydrostatic pressure on his slab, so there's only one other source for that, and that's runoff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's runoff from the roads.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where his builder was thinking or what he was thinking too, but he also put his driveway. He's got the drain cap right at his driveway, so if that clogs up, comes up his driveway too.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
But anyways, that's the decision I had to make on the garage.
So you would drive in the driveway, and where in the garage is here?
Yes.
You're going to enter from the side.
I see.
Yeah. Is this the side elevation? Or is that the door there?
Okay.
I know you didn't want to see the door, so.
Well, that's true. That's part of our guidelines. It's not to have the doors visible from the road, and the it's a single car garage.
Correct.
So how far out, Joel, is a bump out this dimension?
6 feet.
6 feet, okay. So it's about, roughly, the thing is about Is that 20, is it 20
it's
feet?
It's 14 by 20, 24 foot.
All right, so it's 22. About 14 feet wide, the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that gives you a 10-foot space for your car. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the 4-foot for...
For the, you got the stairs, too, yeah, to deal with going down. Okay. So that does explain why the garage is on the side coming out.
I did a lot of head scratching to figure out how I could do that. And I changed the whole floor plan. If you look at the old floor plan, and then you look at this one, you see it's completely changed just to do that.
Yeah, I don't really have. I couldn't find my copy of it, but.
Do you want to see?
Yeah, we do got one. No, this is the new floor plan.
Yes,
yeah.
I might have
to. Oh, okay.
I had to throw the old ones away so they would get mixed up. Yeah, if you look at it, it's a completely changed floor plan because of it.
Yeah, here's the staircase. This is, it was just like almost like an H-shaped plan.
Yeah, that's the foundation.
Oh, that's the foundation? Sorry, I didn't see that. There it is. Yeah. So
there's the bedrooms back.
Here's the porch. And it's just a, comes right across. So the porch was actually bigger, or it was set in and bigger.
Yeah, I think it was 8 feet deep.
Yeah.
And so that really, that kind of dimension didn't really change. I just, and then I had to move the house that way. I was able to push it back. I was like, able to push it back this way. And the reason why I pushed back this way, I'm trying to keep as many trees as possible on the lot.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Because
I think that was in the minutes that...
Right.
Did Karen ask, did you ask for the trees to be located somehow?
Yeah. Just to talk about the 6 to 7 live maple trees. So there's dead, 5 to 6 dead, and
yeah,
6 to 7.
If you look at
seven.
The front of the lot, Gypsy Moth's got the trees in the front. So
yeah.
They have to come down.
It is true. A lot of dead trees in the front.
Yeah.
Let's see where this head plan is. I guess this is...
This might be helpful, and it might be not, but I printed a map, an aerial map from the GIS.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's during leaf off, and I thought it might be helpful for the tree discussion, but it's not great because it's during leaf off, but it's something to give.
I'm more than willing to tag the trees that have to go. So for the most part, as I said, there's 5 or 6 trees that have to go. They're not, they're sugar maples. It's allowing me to, the site is pretty much clear, so it's really just, you see those are really old dead trees right there, so.
Right along
the this is probably a 2010 maybe, aerial, it depends, is
2018.
GSI? 2018.
Okay. So
November 2018. GPS.
Looks like there's a tree here. Well, right in the property boundary, right?
Yes.
And then there's something
it's,
back here.
It's on the neighbor's property, though.
That one. Yeah. GIS.
Yeah,
the
lines go.
Yeah.
It's.
So these guys in front, I think these are what you're saying, Joel. These are the dead ones, right?
Well, what you're seeing that's green are evergreens.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So is there an evergreen right in
here?
This
is, this is a winter shot.
Yeah.
So anything green you're seeing is an evergreen tree.
Yeah, it looks like these. This is all the potter, the landscape that goes with the big house.
Yep.
And that, really, you see it here, up that way, from the road.
So
that's the situation.
The trees that have to go, almost all of this is cleared. If you go in there, it's almost all clear. So it's just the back perimeter of the house. There are trees, they have a girth of probably about anywhere from 6 to 10 inches. There is one major tree that does have to come down, though, and it's 13 feet from the edge of my house, but the overhang is almost 40 feet.
Wow. Which side of the house is it on?
South side.
South side, so it might be right there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. That one's a big tree.
It's a big tree. There's nobody in the world who wants to cut down a tree worse than I do.
Yeah.
You know.
It looks like there's another one right here. Is there one right behind the house, right to the west?
Yes, but I can keep that
one.
You can
keep that one. Okay.
I think this is a tree tip.
And oh, by the way, that's why that tree is actually located right there.
Yeah, so this big sucker.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So if we were to draw that on a site plan, I think we got, looks like we got one tree here, sort of big sucker right on the property. We've got one back here, which you want to keep.
Mm-hmm.
There's one over here. I think it's right about there. Is it right off the corner, sort of?
Yeah, there's
right out here.
Four or five of them are right here. They're within 20 feet of the house.
Right,
so
in
you
the
want
zone.
Yeah, just trying to create some kind of backyard.
Yeah.
But we're keeping this whole area is trees, you know, old trees.
So you're going to keep that zone free?
Yeah, it's just the one big one.
Yeah, one there. Okay.
And then it's treed all the ways down here, but there's no trees up in here. This whole section, there already is no trees.
Yeah, and then the dead ones, I think, are on this zone.
They're right up on the wall.
They're right on the wall.
So
when there's a wall there, right? You found a wall in there? I couldn't see it today.
Oh, yeah, very nice wall.
Okay, so that would be
retained. Japanese knotwood.
Growing up in front of it.
So.
Is there an opening there for the driveway?
No, we'd be moving the opening from here over to there.
All right, so let's note that. Mm-hmm. There is an existing opening. Moving it.
Yeah, the existing opening would have to be rebuilt anyways.
Yeah.
So it's all collapsed.
All right, so it's a fieldstone wall like
yes.
all the other ones. So your idea would be just to remake it so that it's the same. Just
it's
put
great,
it back together.
Great granite.
Again.
It's been fractured. Great granite. Just typical of Kingston.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Kingston rock.
Is it dry laid?
It's dry laid.
Dry laid. So you'd just be putting it back the way it was. All right. Should make a note of that. So basically what happens is in the end, what we get is the wall, and then when you clear this, you're going to have a lawn in front of the house?
Yeah, actually,
or
we are,
plant
we
some
are
trees?
But we can tree that out because of the, what's it called?
The traffic, yeah.
The traffic.
So you would actually be
planting these Oriental junipers when we moved into the other house. That was 17 years ago. They're 34 feet tall
junipers.
At this point. And their girth is probably 20 feet. So they grow very quickly and they'll create a lot of privacy very quickly.
So your intent is to screen the house
yep.
from the street. Interesting.
Is that something you're okay with?
Well,
I don't think
in terms of the historic look, this is a new house that's being built.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to think about the streetscape, it isn't a bad idea to have it screened, as long as it's screened proper, well screened. I mean, done in a, not with knotweed or bamboo or something,
right.
but with, you know.
No, these are, typical fern type juniper leaf. They do have a tendency to lighten rather than darken in green, so they're.
Yeah. It's not that cypress, that false cypress or cryptomyra, which has a feathery kind of leaf.
Yeah, no,
it's a juniper.
Yeah, they're probably pretty hard to tell the difference between.
Maybe
all of them. So
yeah, interesting. Well, you have them on your property
yep.
at Post Road, right? Okay.
There are two other little trees that. With the driveway being located, they're two very juvenile birch trees, probably honey birch or cherry birch. Their girth is no more than 6 inches, but they're so, you know, they're under the canopy, so they're actually growing this way, sideways at this point. So they're.
Are they in the front yard or are they in the back?
They're right where the driveway is.
Right where the driveway is. Okay.
and there's a great big old birch that, ash that I thought we lost until it leafed out in the, I thought that was attacked also.
Oh.
And it isn't, it's, you can see it's coming back. It's
oh, great. And then where is that located?
That's right next to the driveway.
Oh, is that something that can, you can keep or not?
Yeah, and that's why we're moving the driveway, by the way, because it's actually right where the existing driveway is. It's 12 feet in.
So it's got to be right in here somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So it does have an ivy growing up it. We'll be cutting that away, obviously, because that will choke it eventually.
All right. So, in other words, between, does that ash exist sort of between the garage and the road, do you think?
Is yes.
That whereabouts?
Yes.
Just so right,
yeah,
out
right
of here somewhere?
Right here.
Right there? Okay. Right in here.
Interesting. You got to look closely. It's, yeah, it looks like it's dead, but when you really look at it, it's really leafing out. Nicely.
Well, that's nice. That's good. It's recovering.
I think it got beat up with a gypsy moss, but I think it made it. The other ones are completely, I mean, they're kindling now.
So, moving along, do we have comments? Robin, do you have any?
Well, I was just going to say something about the ash. I'm not entirely sure, because I have some oaks that are in the same situation where they have still, they've got some new leaves, but I think the part that looks dead is probably always going to be dead. I'm not sure
yeah.
that it'll ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what your ash looks like, but or whether it's leafed out everywhere, it's just not really bushy.
It's got this ivy growing up it.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, you see that, then all of a sudden it there's a transition into the ash leaf.
Yeah.
And then as it goes up further, there's still some ivy, but then all of a sudden it keeps on going.
Oh, well, that's
out
good.
And,
yeah,
but
that's
the very
good.
Top
yeah.
of it, the top.
Well, if it's
feet,
at the top, then you're in good shape.
It's in good shape, yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have any other questions or comments about the
I was just unsure. How far back, given, say, this site map, is the driveway would be like right in this area, and then the house in. Those are in here. I'm not, because
so
I don't have a site. I can't really see the site map very well from.
Driveway was running 5 feet off the property line.
Okay,
yeah.
So right in here. Yeah. And the house is sort of.
Yeah.
It's
right here.
Yard in the back.
Yeah.
Oh,
and we're leaving that all tree.
Okay.
It's only going to be.
Oh, yeah.
I'm done cutting lawns.
Just kind of
I've got about an acre and a quarter of lawn right now, so it's.
Yeah.
I'm done.
There is a, Robin, there is a plan. Mine's all scribbled on, but if you get to where the elevations are on the side, there's this little site plan here that has the dimensions of the house to the property lines. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
So
oh, all right.
House,
yeah, okay.
You
see
the driveway?
It.
And there's the driveway.
It wasn't entirely clear.
Here's
yeah.
the driveway.
Yeah. Oh, all right. I got it.
You got
sorry,
it?
Yes.
No, it's okay. There's a lot to look at.
Yeah, there's a lot. That's why I'm asking. It's a lot to understand. And this is, any new building in the district, we really have to consider very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our guidelines to follow. But they can be. They can have an adverse effect upon the district, or they can be beneficial. You know, can go either way. And we want to make sure that we allow for new construction and
mm-hmm.
for change to occur that's beneficial.
You want to ask
any other
comments?
No, you're
all set? Good, yeah.
I think I have one question again, going back to the chimney, I guess. And the construction of the chimney, you say you're going to shingle. And when I look at the materials in the district, they're all stone, right? The original fireplace, that would be my only.
Or brick.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, again, it's not a masonry flue.
I understand.
It's a steel flue.
I understand.
And you'd have to build a chimney from the base all the way up masonry. And you're still going to have a steel flue in it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's the way zero clearance fireplaces work.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't attach them to, I guess technically you could, but, I mean.
It's a gas. It's a gas fireplace?
It will be set up for gas, though we got wood burners.
Wood burners, yeah.
So, it's both.
Is it got two, it's got two flues in it, right?
No, just one flue.
So what, where's the, is that coming out another spot?
The furnace? The boiler is a combination boiler.
Oh,
that's those
wood?
Yeah. They're only about this big. Highly efficient. We do have natural gas there. They typically run 94 to 96% efficient, and you get your instant hot water off them,
right.
And they've been perfected.
Right. So that
this house would normally cost the heat, let's say oil would probably cost maybe $1,800 to $2,000 a year. I'm looking at a $400 heating bill.
So this thing here, is this part of that unit? What you're showing looks like a fireplace to me.
Oh, no, that's the zero gas fireplace.
Okay, so this unit is down below that? Where is
it? It's just on the basement wall. I don't think I could pick up. They vent through the side.
Oh, it's a side vent. That's what I was getting at. And where does that vent come out of the house?
I don't have the permit for the gas line right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, you make application, and they tell you where they're going to put it. So most likely it will be in the...
It'll be in the back, do you think?
I can put it in the back. It won't be in the front.
That's where I'm going.
And nor will the meter.
Okay.
They won't put the meter in the front.
Okay. So what's in the great room is a fireplace you can use.
Right.
Right. Okay. That makes
See,
sense.
This is yeah. still crawl space. This is... eventually going to become, well, you know, you do something in the basement, you know.
And your shop is in
room.
There.
The shop is, here am I? This is crawl space. This is crawl space. So this is the whatever room. And then this will be, my wife needs a room for, does all kinds of stuff. So that will be in this pot and storage. And then this will be my workshop over here.
Okay.
So you can see where we're coming straight down into it.
Okay, from the garage. All right.
So in answer to your question, when they come out, they tell you, you know, this is the front of the house, so what they'll probably hang it over here. So the boiler will actually be in the workshop.
In the workshop, yeah. So in the getting back to the chimney, I think you said this last time, that you didn't expect that to come up above the roof line very far.
2 feet.
2 feet.
That's code.
So I'm not sure how visible the chimney is going to be.
I didn't know if it was a working.
It's got to be 2 feet.
Yeah.
You got a thing like this.
Yeah.
It can't be any closer than 10 feet originally, 2 feet above.
Right.
So it's not going to be very tall.
And it's
right in the center of the house, so it's probably going to be a foot off the ridge and then 2 feet above that. So.
So where maybe you could draw in here, where do you think the ridge is? The ridge is right through here, is it?
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be, now, one of the...
Is it going to be... You can offset it. This doesn't have to go straight up, right?
Correct. Yeah. Actually, you don't. You don't want to do that.
Right. You explained this last time.
Yeah. If you look at the old antique houses and whatever, the old... have you ever been up in the attics and wondered why the chimneys do this?
Oh, yeah.
And they do this and they do this. That is how you create a perfect draw. It also prevents water from coming down.
Mm.
I burn about a quart of wood in my house right now. You go look at my fireplace, you can't even see a stain where there's ever been smoke that's come up. It's a perfect draw.
Oh, that's nice.
So,
now, so Joel, let me go at this with you. On this side, is this the garage, right? Is that the garage?
Yes.
So, I know this is kind of weird. I'm looking at it facing south, so the fireplace is actually against this wall, but it might be right in here, right?
Yeah. This partition here is actually the bedroom partition that you're seeing, so it's not against that.
It's against the far wall.
That's right.
All right. Let's just say that for argument's sake, it's a similar wall on this side that it's against, and then the actual chimney. And go up like this, and then I imagine you take it straight up here and then move it over.
Yeah, The things that you use to move them over can go up, I'm sorry, can go up to 22 degrees.
Yeah.
So anywhere from 2 degrees to 22.
Right.
Create the angle. Right. Yeah.
So I guess what I'm getting at is where this pops out.
It's coming out about a foot to a foot and a half
from the
ridge.
Yeah, so it's
and
like
then up 2 feet.
2 feet. So it's like this kind of.
Mm-hmm. It's just this can't be any closer than 10 feet from the ridge.
Right. This piece.
Unless it's above it.
Yeah. So basically your sight line is you might see the very top of this thing, but I don't know if you'd see much more than that.
No.
And it's going to be a sort of a wood frame thing, so it's going to kind of blend in.
It's going to be shingled.
Yeah.
And
it actually, to be real technical about this, the original fireplaces were wood frames.
Well,
it wasn't until they really developed the houses. And we're talking about the early settlers.
Yeah, you're talking about 1600s.
Yeah, they were wood, and then they went to fire.
Or like mud.
Yeah. Yeah, mud and stone.
Stone
and
whatever
they could get in there.
If you go to the Plymouth Plantation and look at them,
okay.
You can also crawl inside, but you're not making a house like
that. No, it's not a big chimney. It's only about, it's a 12-inch pipe, and you have to have 2-inch clearance around it. So
I think that
2-inch
visually, this thing will probably blend in with the roof a lot. It depends upon the. Which we don't really talk about color, but you're talking about a natural shingle, cedar. It's going to be cedar. So it'll turn silver gray eventually. Imagine the roof's going to be dark, probably. Or
kind of partial to green.
Green? Oh.
So the evergreen green.
Yeah. So you just see this little bit of gray above. It probably would not be a visually
a big
thing, yeah. And he's not putting an antenna on it.
No.
He don't do that anymore.
Oh, I do have a 9-foot satellite dish. No.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's for next meeting.
So, anything else, Karen?
I don't think I have any. The only thing he had outstanding was the window.
Trim.
But
yeah.
I'll let Linda.
We can have a discussion about that.
No questions.
All right, so my big question has to do with the appearance of the garage from the street. And I'm just wondering if, and this is just throwing it out, if another window or some other kind of feature would diminish its appearance. Because it begins to look like this L-shaped thing. And I just didn't know how you all felt about it.
You're talking the appearance here.
Yeah.
This part?
No, the
well,
back,
it had
the
two
front
windows,
side.
It would balance
this is the front
well,
side.
That's, yeah. So where it's more balanced here, if we just put another window,
put another window in.
That probably wouldn't be hard.
Okay.
And it balances out.
I think it would balance it out a little bit.
Yeah.
And
the only difference in those windows would, they look the same to you, but I'm probably just going to use a regular single glaze. Window.
Yeah, you would need to insulate
it. Right.
It's half the price for insulation.
Right.
And you could do the same spacing so that it's basically that
equal.
Spacing. You know, you
matches up. Yeah.
Matches up. I actually, my comment about the door and this little portico is kind of fun in a way. And the other doors on the street, there's a symmetry to them. This one, which is up further, the door's right in the middle. But I'm thinking that this is, because of, we're playing on the symmetry of it anyway, these sort of asymmetrical aspects of it. And the door has this little bit of this craftsman kind of look to it.
And it's going to look like similar to the one that you have?
No. The one I have in my house it's an oval stained glass in the middle of it.
I don't mean the door, I'm sorry, I don't want to confuse you.
The doorway.
No,
I meant the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole porch.
The porch.
With the archway.
Some people abbreviate this and just say door, and they mean the whole porch.
Yeah, no, that's what I meant, was the whole porchway is going to have the arch on it.
Looking straight on, it's going to look like any other porch.
Yeah.
Until you get up to it, then you realize it's recessed into the house.
Right, and the door is off center.
I think it looks a lot nicer than the one you had before with the, yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's all going to be shingled, and I think this is just...
The thing with lattice, I'm not opposed to putting something underneath there, I just don't like lattice.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't like the diagonal lattice. I like the...
Plantings or
where
something,
it's,
you know,
it goes up and down vertically and horizontally. Yeah. It's just that things can get underneath there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you may want to consider that.
Well,
things could get under there and you can't get them out with the
ladders.
One
of those things
that
will be
gone.
Going in on here that you won't see, but that raises that issue is I don't put gutters up other than where they're over doors or areas.
Yes.
When I do it, and again, if you go to my house, I have wood gutters up there. But I use peripheral drain, so it's around the base.
Right.
The foundation is stone, and then there's a 4-inch pipe leaning out from that. And
do you have like a stone drip edge then that you create with stones, round stones or something?
Yeah,
like
yeah, it's about that rock, right where it drips down onto it.
Yeah.
And then we use to plant that out, you know, put
things there.
Yeah, tiger lilies and, you know, the stuff that
perennials.
Is this what you're doing for a porch? This kind of knee wall kind of thing?
Yeah, very similar.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so
then the columns will be dressed out like that. It's just...
Yeah.
Does it have... Is there like a little seat there that you can pop up and put things in?
We're gonna... We were trying one out this weekend. Just going to put a little porch swing, the little seats. Because it will go this way.
Yeah.
That will be on the side.
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll use it sort of as a...
One of our favorite things to do during a rainstorm is just go sit out on that porch.
Listen to the rain.
Nice and sheltered. And
Nobody will know you're there.
Cool. Nobody knows you're there. Yeah.
So what I wanted to talk about, which we don't really talk about colors, but we can talk about treatment on the exterior. And we know that the shingles are going to be weathering. But you did talk about the trim. And if it's pine, it says in what you gave us that you would stain it.
Yeah.
But, and rather than paint it. But are you thinking about the stain would just be a dull kind of stain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The stain I used, I've always used it. It's a solid stain.
Yeah.
It looks like a paint.
Yeah. That's what I use on my house.
But it's...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's virtually maintenance free and it's guaranteed for 30 years.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
So it's...
Yeah. So, and then the windows, this is just an aside, windows come in all, these windows, the treatment, the cladding comes in all kinds of different colors. So you're probably aware of that.
You've
got
to
sort of figure out.
They do have a green, so...
Are you going to do them in green?
We haven't picked out the color yet, but... This is, you could get an understanding of what the evergreen is.
Right.
So
that would be against the shingle work, and then the trim would correspond to that.
Mm-hmm.
And the door, you know, whatever you do for the door.
Mm-hmm.
So the porch actually is going to read with the green trim against the, just wanted to understand that.
Yeah.
And then the green roof. So I think that basically it's going to have this sort of naturalistic kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it will look like either Colonial Revival or Craftsman in this kind of period where they were combining the different things together,
half
and half.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of why you wanted those other windows, you thought.
Yep.
So how do people feel about those other windows?
Like the prairie
style window? Is that the upper sash only that does that?
Yes. Well, you can do it any which way you want, but maybe I have a better picture of them.
Yeah. There it is. It's just the upper sash on this.
Is it all 6/6 in, oh, cause I don't.
Right now it's all 6/6.
I know, out these houses.
Oh yeah, they're all multi-paned windows, either 8/8 or 6/6.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't really have, we have.
This one was hard to tell.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure that one.
In the district, we really don't have prairie style houses.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly colonial revival, colonial
mm-hmm.
federal. Kingston really doesn't have very much of that. And my own personal feeling is that I think I would go conservatively with the 6/1 windows and let the door, the porch, be the real piece that sort of identifies the house. The windows will sort of blend in with the rest of it and trim, but that door will have sort of read the porch and whatnot kind of nicely.
Yeah, the reason why, that's the only picture I could find of the way I wanted to trim it out. That's why I supplied that picture.
But I think this, I think if you used a lot of this, it might just be too much of that kind of style. I don't know.
There's only four. I don't know. You look at when
there's
you look
four
at,
windows across.
It's four windows in the front.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the side view, where the garage is, it's really two.
Yeah.
So I'm impartial.
Yeah, I think they look nice. But
yeah, I'm impartial. I don't think it's a big.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a big.
Doesn't stand. Doesn't ring to me. And then he's. It's almost going to be. This house is going to be very secluded out. I think what you're going to see from the road, if the front of it's going to be secluded with the junipers, what you're really going to, your eye's going to be caught by the garage.
Yes, with the driveway, that angle is what you're going to see.
You're going to see the garage door and the two windows.
Yeah. The door may not be quite as visible.
Well, the ash is right there, so
like
not
going to
see a hole.
So you're going to go, you're going to, so it doesn't look like there's any, it looks like there's.
There's quite a lot of vegetation for that.
Right
house.
There, yeah.
What were you going to do on the garage door? Just a plain door? Or
well, if I put two windows in, then I'll probably just do a plain door. Right now I'm showing lights in there, but.
Actually, that would be better if it's just a plain door.
The idea was to put the lights in is to get light
door.
In the garage.
Right. I don't know. I think I'm okay with windows.
You are?
Yeah, I am okay.
Yeah, I kind of like them, actually.
Yeah, I'm okay with windows, because it's a lot of solid going on in the house. If it were
for
me, I wouldn't want all that.
Yeah. And some of the doors have a transom across the top,
and
it's a solid door, and like a barn, an old-style barn, so that these windows are like fixed up here, and a little transom, and then the solid door.
Mm-hmm.
That's another way to do it.
Yeah. But I think window, you need it over there.
And I could probably do it. You got to remember, you got a fairly large header there. That so your transoms would be elevated.
They would be small, whatever that was.
There's a.
You can also get a door with these small windows across.
Mm.
That's what I'm showing now. I'm showing four or five lights.
Yeah. Yeah, they could be smaller than that. Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, I think it's fine now, though, the windows.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm kind of impartial to this because the house is going to be. This is what you're going to see from the road, really, at the end of it, once he puts his vegetation in.
Yeah.
Well, that's. Coming south to north, you'll see the house.
Again, on this side. On this side.
Is.
So you'll see this side.
Yeah. What we're trying to do is a lot.
Right here. So coming this way, you're saying coming toward URI.
I don't know if you've been out there, but this is that apartment building. I mean, it's not bad shape.
It's
I really don't want to look at
it.
This one.
This one. Is it that one, Joel?
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah. I really don't want to look at it. So we're talking about putting, maybe three of these trees, and when they grow out, it'll cover like 50 feet, 60 feet.
I think we're going to be more aware of a wall.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
That's going to
that,
be
the wall is fantastic.
To me, that's the
that'll
signature.
Be very nice.
That's the
And it's even better on my side because the roadside, when they rebuilt the roads or whatever, they bermed up to the wall. So the wall is exposed only about 2.5 feet to 3 feet.
That is too bad.
But on my side, because it drops immediately, I've got a 5 foot wall.
Oh, so.
Nice.
Yeah, that's too bad. But I think that's the thing that we're going to.
So they're going to look like this, sort of? But only on the top?
Yeah, very similar to that.
Okay.
So.
Just give me a visual. I need a
picture.
Yeah.
But you'd only do it on the top, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't want to put a lot of options. If you're on the West Coast, and now you can start calling West Coast houses historic, because especially the San Francisco area and stuff like that, you're going to see that all the time, an 100-year-old house.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, prairie style, they call it a prairie style, but you know, prairie style is really the 30s, 40s, and 50s. That detail is older than that.
Yeah, that's just kind of like, we just don't have anything like that really in the district that comes to my mind. So that's why I'm hesitant. I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with the 6:1.
And they're not going to be any stained glass inserts or anything in them. It's just going to be plain glass.
Well, the insert will be the same color as whatever the window is. So if I choose green windows, then the insert. They're not inserts, by the way. They're
full windows.
Yeah, I think they're talking about the glass itself and not the dividers, which is not the wrong word.
It'll be just clear.
It'll be clear glass.
Yeah. Now, I have incorporated another house with stained glass windows. I don't know whether you're open to that. I don't know, you'd have to see it, but that's why if you look at my front door now, it's got a 4 foot stained glass window. And the front of the house also has a bullseye, a green bullseye that's this big.
Oh my goodness.
It's built in. So it's.
Wow, you went overboard.
So, I just want to let you know, I'm leaving at 7, so.
I know, I think I want to move ahead here, because other things have to happen.
Yeah. 6:45.
So why don't we have a motion then to, if everybody's okay with this, to approve it. And I think what we need to do is.
What are we approving for windows? Because that's kind of a.
I would go with the 6:1 and not this look.
Me too.
I just want to put it on the table.
I came in thinking 6:1.
Okay.
The only reason that came up is that's the only way I could see the trim. Show you the trim. So.
That works pretty well in terms of the shoulders and that stuff.
Okay.
So, do you want me to put the motion together?
Yeah, because this is a big hardy one.
Yeah. So we have to go through this in pieces. First of all, we're going to approve the application as submitted, which includes all of these things. With exceptions or with conditions. And I just want to list the conditions. I think they have to do with the two windows that would be added to the. It's
well,
actually one window.
One additional, or two in the garage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that those two windows be placed symmetrically as. The window shown
in the master bedroom.
In the master bedroom, mm-hmm. Right?
And that's on the front of the house.
On the front of the house. I think I'd like to add also that there be a some sort of screen, lattice screen for the porch under the deck. You know, to screen the foundation there.
You got to remember too that the deck. Is
I know it's recessed partly, but it's sticking out partly.
Stepped down, so you're only going to have about 8-inch clearance underneath the deck. Remember, we're 18 inches of free wall on the foundation, but you come out the front door, you step down
is
7 inches.
Step down here?
That's right, and then the deck itself is another 7 inches.
So you're not really, there's not much room underneath there?
No, I don't.
Gonna be like that.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, well,
landscaped?
I don't know.
Yeah, they will be landscaping anyways.
Yeah.
Is there any, you want to make the steps just that wide? You don't want to carry them right across?
Well, it doesn't serve us anything.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense.
He's gonna put a rail.
Yeah, the rail is just, you know, we're getting older.
Well, for 8 inches, that really doesn't make much difference.
Yeah.
You couldn't even frame the line.
You get what I'm saying? You walk off the deck, you walk off your floor,
yeah.
You go down 7.5.
Right.
Your deck is another 7.5. So
you're
now you're down
inches.
15.
Yeah.
So you're 18 and 10 is 28 minus 15. So you're 10 inches, theoretically, you're 10 inches off the ground.
Okay, let's drop that part. And then, you know, you specified all the materials. We've gone over all of those. The windows are going to be simulated divided lights, except on the garage. And those can be just divided muttons. They don't have to be double glazed windows.
Yeah, see, that's a code thing, too. The house has to have insulated windows.
Yeah.
And
it's
the door,
untreated area.
I think we'll go with the door as shown. It's a four-panel door with transom lights. And it's solid. Was it a fiberglass door?
Yes.
Fiberglass door. Is there any other? All of it's wood except the windows and the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all of the treatment is wood. It will have an asphalt roof. And I think you've actually told us.
How about the rock wall?
The stone wall. Yeah, we'll get to the site improvements.
Okay.
We haven't, just to throw on the table, but is the driveway going to be pervious or impervious?
Gravel.
Gravel
packed.
All right, so we'll go
we
with...
We might stone it, but it would be that, they call it gravel pack, actually. It's very tiny aggregate and gravel.
So you
packs
get it packed down.
Yeah, packs in real well.
Yeah, but it's not an asphalt driveway.
No.
Okay. So we'll specify that too. And
I guess technically it's supposed to be pervious, but
pervious.
I guess they don't consider it pervious anymore.
No, they don't.
That gravel pack?
Gravel.
Any
period.
Gravel.
Period.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the evaporation coefficient of it gives it basically a 0.2% more likely evaporation than pavement.
But
then it almost just comes from the texture of the material.
It will be a natural material.
And that the wall will be back together again, the stone wall, and that the trees we're looking for.
Well, we might, right now, it's going back together again, but.
You're gonna move. We have to specify that you're gonna move the entrance. In
oh, okay,
approval.
Yeah. We're gonna
to correspond to the new driveway opening, and you'll be repairing the wall.
Right. Approve it the way you set it, but I'm just saying in the future I might come back here and say, well, I actually want a 4-foot opening there for a walkway out.
Oh yeah,
house,
yeah,
so,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah. I was
instead of patching the whole thing up. So.
Right, right. We'll come back for that. That would be, so you have a front walkway to the door.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, come back for that. And that will approve the removal of the dead trees and...
the large tree that's too close.
And the large tree on the south side is too close to the house.
And then there's, I think it's 4.
Mm-hmm. Additional trees.
Maple trees that are within 20 feet of the house, so... To give us like a 30-foot backyard,
yeah.
But you're still going to have, is it 50 or 60 feet of treed area in the back also?
On the south
between,
side of the house.
Yeah, between my property line and the...
And the Potter house, right?
Yeah. So if we go back 20 feet, let's say 25 feet, there'll be... almost a 30-foot buffer of tree line back here too.
All right.
And then this will all be treed over here.
Right. So I think what we want to do, because of the Potter House, is the most important thing there that's in the immediate vicinity from an historic point of view. We want to retain that treed edge to the Potter
right.
House property.
We don't want to see it either.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the principal thing that we want to, that I would imagine we want to be careful of
yes,
in terms of the trees.
Yeah.
Is there anything else to add?
I think you've caught it all.
Yeah. And this is understanding that, that all of the things that have been presented to us are part of the application, Kayla, that, that Joel has described. The materials, the, we don't really have to get into the weeds on those because they're already as part of the application.
The weed?
The weeds. In other words, we
not
don't have to detail all of your materials.
Oh.
Because we already know the cedar siding, the
we grow a lot of
asphalt.
We're very good at
the,
it.
The trim, the wood trim.
Right, and if it's specified in there, it'll also show up in your minutes as like that is how it was described here.
Right,
so
right. And you have the record of that. And all I would say is that when the building permit comes in, the staff needs to go through all that to make sure that it's all there.
Complies.
Or somehow it's conveyed to the building official to check everything.
Yep, which
yeah.
probably means I get a tap on the shoulder.
Yeah.
So
right.
That works.
And
thank
if
you.
There are any questions or any changes, just come back and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
So that's the motion on the floor. Is there a second?
I'll second.
So my understanding is the condition is only adding another window at this point.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're going with a lot of what you've already told us is on there and accepting it. And, so I guess it's been approved.
Thank
all
you.
In favor.
Now, all in favor.
All in favor. Aye.
And congratulations.
Yeah.
You're moving ahead.
Yeah.
Next step.
Next step.
We're going to be
step.
Out there checking
run,
you
run,
out.
Yeah, running around after the subs is not something I enjoy. I used to do it, but it's all very busy.
Well,
so we're taking it slow. Is really what it's coming down to. So.
Well, you're going to be terrific for you guys living in Kingston.
Yeah.
Coast of
we're looking forward to it.
It's a lot of fun. Cool thing.
I love history. I love sort of semi whatever with the King Philip War historian or whatever. I've done
yeah.
a lot of reading on it.
Yeah.
I'm determined someday to find the battlefield. So
nice.
But
you will.
Well, they did a lot of ransacking, those Indians, so I
yeah.
think there are battlefields in almost every community
yeah.
related to King Philip's War.
There is a stone structure on the next to Vada House, right up against my property line. It's probably about 10 feet off it.
Huh.
It looks like a huge chair. It's actually stone. If you guys take a look at it, we've already dubbed it King Philip's throne. So
interesting.
It's yeah, we'd love to find out. It was Jill, I think, her the woman who moved in next door.
Yeah.
So we'll knock on the door sometime to see if she knows anything. But we also know the previous owners.
Yeah.
That's how you know we got the lot. So.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
It's just the coolest rock structure I've seen in a long, long time. So
there are these things out there. If you talk to the Narragansetts, there's a really, not Mr. Brown, but his colleague, he's into all of these things in the landscape. It's just it's remarkable how much is out there.
Yeah. I have a Tim, you know, Tim Philbrook is a good
yeah,
friend
yeah.
of mine,
sublime.
So
yeah.
he's another source I can tap to,
yeah.
to try to figure it out. So.
Well, thanks so much. We got to move on.
Yep.
Thanks for
so
your
much.
Patience and
you.
Going through it.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, good luck to you
do
and
I
your wife.
Get something in writing from you guys, or
yes.
is that
yeah.
the idea?
Okay, let's
you guys are done from our office. I'll draft it together. Basically, the chair will sign it. You'll get it within the next handful of days, just as soon
right.
as we get
yeah,
it
we're not,
and out for you next week.
We
you'll
probably
see
won't submit for at least 6 or 7 weeks. At this
and
point.
I have your email, so I tend to PDF one and send one to you sooner, so like
okay.
you have it.
And the private compound will be tweeted back to you. The
yes.
residential compound.
I did just put it on my to-do list for tomorrow. So.
Alrighty.
Looking
so,
at a lot then.
So do you want to give us an update on the National Register thing quickly?
I do. It'll be a lightning speed update. There's not much
yeah.
to it. I actually reached out to Joanna Doherty for an update because right now it's sitting with the state.
Oh.
And so the long story short from Joanna is that she is working through. I think those are mine, aren't they?
Okay.
Yep, good night, Joel.
So she's working through the revised submittal. Erica tapped Shanti Anderhagen to do a lot of support work with her on getting this second version of it submitted. The review seems to be going quite a bit smoother, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it does mean that we've moved out the date. So now at this point, the real update for you all is that there is a date set for when this will be heard by the state board, and that is October 7th. So the Historic District Commission, you all get notified of that 60 days in advance, so that'll all be coming to you pretty quickly.
So they're going to make a presentation to the state review board on the extension of the district. Is that what they're doing?
Yes, they're doing these two separate applications now. Expansion of the district and update of the district.
All right.
And they wanted them for, I guess for lack of a better term, let's call it strategic purposes, to not be necessarily one application with all of that involved, and just in case the expansion reached any pushback from a property owner or there was any concern, they wanted to make sure the update could go forward, even if it was sort of a preventative measure based on something they'd run up against in another town or at another point.
Right.
So we do have a date set for that. We should be hearing back from them.
Are they going to do them both at the same meeting? Or
yes.
One after the other?
Yeah, because they're really functionally are one application. They're being reviewed together simultaneously, but they're just sort of existing as two separate documents with two separate pieces. Right. But so that is sort of where we are on that.
Okay. Very good. And do we have any other old business or...
No, we don't. I would say...
comments or correspondence that we have to deal with?
No, I think the only thing left to do is probably just table election of officers until there's a better cohort here.
Right.
What about, because I haven't been in several meetings, but what about the recognition program that we started last year?
We haven't talked about it much more.
Yeah, in other words, another round.
Yeah, another round.
Yeah, do you want me to add that to the agenda when we do election of officers?
Yeah.
Because I'll try and have that meeting happen relatively quickly without being an inconvenience to everybody. Right. But
I think that would be excellent. I think we have some projects that may be coming together or have come together that we'd want to recognize.
Mm.
And that was very good PR to do it.
Yeah.
So we might be able to bump it up so it's done more quickly.
I think it was our first time, right?
Yeah.
We
sort of know how to do it. So if any of you have ideas about a particular project that comes to mind, we can communicate with Peter and Jim. Maybe Kayla can do that. That this will be on the agenda and that they should think about.
Yeah, because last time we looked at business and we looked at private residents. Kind of put them into those categories.
Right, and it was sort of like town. Wasn't it town wide? So we would recognize projects that weren't necessarily in Kingston.
Yeah.
Which I think is nice. I wasn't a part of it. I'm just going to give you my take. I think that's really nice. I think it's a nice way to pull it out of Kingston a little bit and start bringing a little more attention to the other historic properties.
Right. The Matunic Farmhouse. Now, I talked to that gentleman when Jim was redoing it.
Yeah.
He wants no recognition, but oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a beautiful project.
It is unbelievable what he invested in that structure. Mm. And
well, folks.
Yeah. Well.
Nice to see you, Karen.
Yes.
Nice to see you.
Thank
Drive
you
safe.
For coming.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome.
Enjoy yourself.
I will. Thank you.
Have fun.
Bye.
Okay, with that.
So with that, we'll just continue to think. And I think townwide.
I'll just send a reminder out to people saying that's going to be on the next agenda.
Again.
Let's think. Everyone think of what works. Any good examples you have?
Is there anything else that's coming to mind about I know that the Alzheimer's thing is underway in terms of review.
Mm-hmm.
I'm figuring that we're not going to stand into any position of reviewing that because it hasn't come to us. And it's in process.
Yeah, I don't think so. Honestly, the way we usually do it is review it conceptual master plan by the advisory committees.
Yeah.
And now
he's already done that.
Yeah,
he's already
exactly.
Been there.
So now we're in preliminary and really the meat of the review, which has been a large topic of conversation. I'm sort of up recording of myself, I think, at this point, for it, is really about whether the traffic the drainage, the landscaping, and the utility connections are going to support the structure
right.
as proposed
right.
at this point. And that's sort of the way the tiered reviews of land development projects go.
Right.
And so with the court deciding to overturn the planning board's denial, they were granted their conceptual master plan approval, and they go forward to this preliminary stage of review, which is basically a question of the use as proposed is acceptable, what you have put forward for your site planning is acceptable, that was established at conceptual master plan, and now you have to show the technical support that it will work on
mm-hmm.
the site.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we're sort of in that phase now.
So, just a question.
Mm-hmm.
On the facade, is it basically the same design? I know they squished it together,
basically
but
the
does
same
it look
design.
The same?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there it is.
Yeah, but I think we have a couple of renderings down in the office.
Mm-hmm.
But Monday night we're holding a special meeting on it for the public hearing
yeah.
just because we imagine there'll be a lot of people who want to participate and
right.
be heard.
So I think the word for us is to know that if we get asked about whether we're going to review it, we've already had that review.
Mm-hmm.
It's done. It's now at a stage where we don't really have, they're not seeking an advisory opinion from us at this point, because it's already gone through the master plan approval stage
mm-hmm.
via the courts and the planning board. So there it is. I know that there have been some people calling me who are living nearby and in the district, in the National Register District, and some new owners of historic houses in that area
mm-hmm.
who weren't part of the situation before.
Right, right.
So it's very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
We'll just see what happens.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you
Motion
all.
To
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Third. So.